I firmly believe that we deserve, period.
I just feel like it's important to keep saying that out loud, that this is us learning in public.
The foundation of how to not have trash politics is really just relationships, right?
So if you're not aware of how powerful you are, then how can you be using your power to bring others up?
We're giving you collective liberation. We're giving you personal healing. We're giving you millennial auntie with a mic.
You're listening to Scene, the podcast.
I don't know about you, Lala, but I love love. I love watching, you know, children receive love. I love witnessing parents express love. My sister-in-law recently had a baby boy, my little nephew. He's just the cutest. And watching her be a mom is just the best. And the amount of love that I feel for him is unbelievable. I love when people are able to honor their feelings and tell others, I love you. I think I do that a lot with people. Like, I've just been like, I love you. Just telling friends, you know, when you love them. And I know we've talked a lot on this podcast about so many topics that intersect or touch on love, but I don't think we've actually ever had like a whole dedicated episode about it. So today we're going to be led by the question, how do you like to be loved? And I want to start off by letting everyone know that we are not going to be limiting ourselves nor associating this episode with the raggedy work of Dr. with air quotes, Gary Chapman, who is the person who wrote the Five Love Languages book. And I want, Lala, could you please just tell the good people why we're not fucking with that book or that man?
Yeah, he's like it turns out he's a weird homophobic, probably racist, white, evangelical Christian. So that's weird.
So it's a pass for us, you know?
Yeah, it's a pass, hard pass. But having said that, I think the love languages stuff has so become a ubiquitous part of culture that it would be very difficult to talk about the way we express love without that coming into it. And I think that's okay, because ideas are just ideas. We can still engage with them, but let it be known to everybody that we do not claim that man, and we do not know him, and we are not sorry to that man.
No, insert Kiki Palmer, I'm sorry to that man. We're not. Exactly. So I'm with you on the like, take what you need, leave what you don't. I will say that maybe we don't throw away the five love languages because they might be helpful in some way, shape, or form. But I do think it's important for us to consider and question how limiting this man's framework really is, because he adheres so tightly to like compulsory heterosexuality and heteronormativity and all these things. So in the spirit of expanding what love is and how we love and what love means to us, I just want to like put that over to the side, because we don't want to take the lead of a bigoted little white man. Surely there are more than five ways to be loved. But yeah, I want to start off by asking you, how do you like to be loved? And what's like a well-loved Lala? Like, what does that look like?
That's a very good question. And it's a very difficult question for me. I think something that came up for me, I decided to take one of those quizzes again. I know we just said we're putting it to the side, but
right,
it's but okay.
Here we are.
However,
you've taken the quiz.
I just wanted to, reacquaint myself with some of the sort of questions of what feels meaningful to you and that kind of thing. And what really came up for me a lot was a lot of guilt, a lot of discomfort, you know? So when it asks you, would you like to receive love in this way? Or would you like to receive love in this way? Especially towards the beginning of the quiz, I just felt so much discomfort of like, I would just feel so bad. And I think really thinking through it, there is a lot of conditioning of just what my family was like growing up and things like that. And there's also a lot of trauma in it. So that's sort of part of the conversation for me. And, you know, I think so often when we experience abuse in relationships that are supposed to be loving, love then becomes very complicated and and can be very difficult to receive because it becomes paired with
harm
and violence in your system. And that's really true for me. So that's a big part of the picture for me. That being said, if I want to just put that aside for a second and try to answer, I think I really like demonstrations of care. I think hearing words, it's really nice and I really appreciate that, and it means a lot to me. But I think caring actions really make me feel loved in a different way. It's like I can't my body can't my system can't like come up with, oh well, maybe they're just saying that. It's like, it's right in front of me. I can't argue with these actions, you know? So that means a lot to me. How about you?
I really appreciated you opening up with just describing the complexity of talking about how we like to be loved. So I just, I want to thank you for that. I think for me, a well-loved Nick. So if I was going to conjure up in my mind an image of me feeling just swaddled in love, it's equally kind of what you said about somebody doing like acts of service or like demonstrating that they care from like their actions. For some reason, words alone are really nice to receive in the moment, and sometimes they don't stick the way that I think the person who's trying to love on me intends for it to. And I don't know why. I think there's a part of it for me where I know I say a lot of things all the time. You know, I'd be like, I say a lot of shit all the time. And so maybe there's a part of me that doesn't quite believe it when people say like, hey, I really appreciate you or love you or whatever. But it would depend even on what about me, like what aspect of me they're commenting on or affirming. So I've noticed for myself when people tell me that they like one person, one of my good friends, Naya, had told me last year, I love the way your mind works. And that was like one of the best compliments that I'd ever received in my entire life, because I think for so long I had held a lot of judgment maybe about the chaotic nature of my thoughts and how messy things were in my mind and how things... my thought processes, and to have somebody see that part of me and love on it, that those words really meant a lot. Whereas when people tell me, when people comment on other aspects of me, I might appreciate it if somebody's like, you look beautiful today or something, but it doesn't have the same amount of weight. So I think there's something there.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
I definitely relate to that, that maybe more kind of generic, you're beautiful, you're smart, you're kind, you know, things that are more generic. It's like they're wonderful to hear in the moment, but I totally relate that they don't stick as much, and things like really, you know, no one else could have said that about you except somebody who really knows you well and really sees you. There's definitely something about that specificity that I think makes it easier to sort of actually seep in. It also just made me think how much I wish that we could all see ourselves through the eyes of the people that love us.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you say you felt insecure about the way your mind works, it's like so hard for me to even imagine how that's possible, because I'm like, what do you mean? Like, you're brilliant. You're so funny. You like, you're so quick and just so many incredible things about the way that your mind works that I experience all the time. It's like, I can't even imagine how you could be insecure about that, you know?
Yeah. Have you ever been told that you were hard to love or easy to love or anything like that?
I don't think I've been told that I'm hard to love in words, but I think I've been shown that by a lot of people who weren't able to love me or found it very difficult
to love me.
You know, I felt like a burden, or I felt like, just that there must be something wrong with me because of people who acted like they wanted to be in my life, or I should say they chose to be in my life, but then also didn't seem to like me very much.
I felt like I've told Nolan before, I'm like, you're so easy to love. There's something about that, like, efficacy of you can't help but love this person. You know what I mean? And I think that deep down, all of us want to be, like, first of all, we all want to be loved, but we also want our love to be, like, uncomplicated. Mm. And something that you had said before, going back to when you've experienced harm at the hands of people who are supposed to take care of you and love you, it makes things complicated. And I think sometimes as well, and I wonder if this is true for you, it can also feel like difficult to ask for that love that you actually need, because you've been shown that, like, either you're not as worthy of love, or the love that you get is this, but you don't get that, and that is what you really need. You know what I mean? And so there's, like, this negotiating that you end up having to do with yourself, really, about being like, okay, I guess I deserve just this. And I don't know, like, there's been in previous relationships and at times when I've been single, I've felt like a deep sense of envy with people who seem so wrapped up in, like, the love of others, like, that they can kind of float around. And I've been like, what's wrong with me? Like, why can't somebody love me like that? And I think it's really challenging. Like, I'm not going to lie, I couldn't tell you that that didn't impact, like, both my self-esteem and just the way that I imagined my future, even, right? Like, let alone if you want to be, like, booed up and coupled up or whatever in a kind of, like, intimate relationship. It's just like, everyone wants to, like, be loved by their friends, by their family, by people around them. And when you feel like you're somehow unworthy of it, or that, like, the way that you need to be loved because of things you've experienced is maybe particular, or there's something to it that's, like, specific that you need, but you don't need this other stuff, it's like you feel a type of way about yourself. I don't know if that resonates for you.
It totally does. And it makes me feel like crying, honestly. I feel so sad because I do. Yeah, I think when you've had those experiences that are traumatizing or that make you feel unworthy, you know, or I'll speak for myself. Yeah, it absolutely does make me feel less deserving of love, or like it would be a lot harder for anyone to love me because they'd have to deal with all of this. So I think that's part of it, is having those experiences that make me feel like it would be complicated and more work to love me. Mm. And I also think that, yeah, some people just grew up, they had childhoods with two parents and a whole other village around them where love was just abundant and care was abundant. And so they just never learned, or were never kind of given the message that loving them and caring for them is a burden.
Right.
You know? And so I think, you know, I notice it in people around me where, you know, people I'm in deep relationship with, and they feel like they're a burden on me, you know, like we have a conversation and I'm being supportive. And then they're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I just talked about myself for however long. And they feel really, really bad about it. And I'm like, I'm so happy that you talked to me about that. And I've been so, I'm so 100% all in with this conversation and you, and I'm just so happy to be able to be here for you, but there's nothing I can really say to make them fully
believe it,
feel that. And I think that's part of it. It's not just that we are more complicated to love. It's just that we've been given this message that love is a burden.
Yeah. And on the other hand, I also think that we've been given, as much as I want like an uncomplicated love, we've been given this message that love is supposed to be like an easy thing, or that love is just like a feeling as opposed to a choice. And like the choice of love means work, or it means that there's something to it that's active that like requires input.
Yeah. I want to ask you, what do you mean when you say you want an uncomplicated love? What do you mean by that?
I think, you know how we had that episode about interracial dating, interracial partnerships, whatever. And so there's a complexity about, and this is specifically about my interracial relationship, right? Like that the amount of love that we have between the two of us is incredible. And there is the reality in my mind that I've idealized and that we have to kind of create constructs in order to protect things like Black love, right? That this idea where, or this reality rather, that somebody who is closer to your identity understands you more. And there's something in my mind, I guess, that goes to that seems less complicated, right? But I don't know if that's true. That's the thing. Like, the reality check is that you could have people who share your identity and you're still incompatible with them. And there's something special about the person that you're with, which I find with Nolan. Right. And so and that's kind of what I mean. It's like, I think that a lot of, for me anyways, I have always desired love, and my idea of what love should be like was wrapped around, like, it's supposed to be really simple. And it's supposed to be this feeling of like desire or passion. And that's what it is 24/7 or whatever the fuck. And that's not necessarily what romantic love is, right? Mm-hmm. And even like familial love or platonic love is work. It's not as though, or, you know, the episode we just had talking about like, are you afraid to fight with your friends? It's like you love your friends and it's work to have to bring conflict into it, or to say like, hey, you caused harm. Like that's love and harm and work, and you still have the relationship, right? And so kind of expanding that to romantic relationships, or really any, it doesn't matter. It's this idea for me that I'm having to unlearn around like simple, easy love. I don't know if that exists. I think that love is what it is, and it requires work for it to not be just a feeling, for it to be that active, you know, rather than passive experience that you're opting into.
That makes sense. And I think I resonate with the idea of wanting to be easy to love, wanting somebody to have the experience of it being easy to love me.
Yeah, totally.
But I don't think I resonate with the idea of wanting an uncomplicated love, because just as we talk about it, I think relationships are so messy and life is so messy. And I know I've already been through so many things. And there might be maybe moments of like wanting to just be a different person and be the person who had a, you know, just a really happy childhood and everything came easy too. Of course, I want that sometimes, but I think what I want more now is being able to be loved in everything that I am now. And that's very complex. And I love the idea of, you know, two people being able to be in such deep relationship with each other that it's incredibly complex, and having hurts come up with each other and being able to love each other through that, because that to me is so healing, being able to hurt somebody and be able to repair that hurt together, and vice versa, that to me feels so much deeper than things being easy all the time.
Wow, that's really true. I hear what you're saying, like that the person that you are now is so much more expansive and complicated and complex, and that you want that love to match the size of the enormity of all aspects of you, that it's not something that has to fit into a little pocket of you. And it's like this person just loves the slice, but like all, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That really, I hadn't thought about that, is like how the love that you receive from others is like able to encompass all of you. And that you're able to show up as your full self and be received and loved and welcomed. And it's not like you have to hide parts of yourself with the person that is loving you, all of you, you know?
Yeah. I remember I was watching an episode of Red Table Talk, and Jada was talking about, I can't remember who it was now. It was some legendary Black actress who was of an older generation and had a very long marriage. And Jada was talking to her about her own marriage. And the person asked Jada how long they'd been married. And I think at the time she said like 14 years or something like that. And the person said, oh, you don't even know each other yet.
Yeah, I love hearing when people who have been with each other for such a long time say shit like that. I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah. And I have no idea, but I love the idea of, you know, it's like decades in and you're still learning how to love each other and who each other is, like, and that just feels so freeing, you know, that it's okay to struggle that much and to be that complicated, and not to say it should always feel
difficult,
of course,
right?
But again, it's like we are the whole spectrum, you know? And so I think our relationships should be too, as long as there's, you know, a baseline of course, respect and safety
and care
and all of those things. But
Hey everyone, it's Nick.
And Lala.
If you've been listening to Scene and you like what you hear,
please share us with your friends.
Subscribe to the podcast.
Follow us on Instagram at Scene the Podcast.
Write a review and just tell us what you think.
And help make this work sustainable by supporting Scene the Podcast on Patreon.
We need our beautiful community and we cannot do this without you. Wow, when you just said that, you know, how long you've been together and that, like that anecdote, it reminds me, I was talking to my brother-in-law, Nolan's brother, and I was telling him about my first impression of his brother, and I was like, you know, your brother, the way he comes across, so mysterious, and he's like, oh yeah, don't worry, I understand it. It's usually the trajectory of like, he seems so like, you know, alluring and interesting, right? And then you kind of get like lured in, and then he, like, we've been together for 7 years as of like this past weekend, and this man is so predictable. Like all of the things that I had thought, like the mystery, I found it out, but it's still fascinating to get to know him and to get to know him through different seasons, watching him grow, watching him have different things happen in his life and watching him respond and how his responses today were not his responses like 5 years ago. It's fascinating. So I really resonate with that sort of, you don't even know each other yet, or you're still figuring things out. It's like kind of cool to think about. And even with friendships, like, cause I don't want to talk specifically about romantic relationships. I think it's the same thing about like lifelong friendships or friendships that you've been through some shit with your person, your people. You have this opportunity to keep on getting to know, what's my friend like watching you with healing in color, I get to see a different side of you, right? Mm-hmm. Like I work with you as my partner in this podcast, but getting to see you in different aspects of life, it's like kind of cool to see how other people even see you and see you take up space in different ways. A thing that I was going to ask you, kind of on the tangent away from specifically romantic love, but I guess it could be, is how do you show your self-love? How do you love on yourself? What does that look like? What is a well-loved Lala to Lala?
Yeah, that's, I mean, just as complicated, if not more so.
Yeah.
Listening to my needs as much as I can and listening to my desires as much as I can and responding to myself in both of those ways is really huge. Something that's been really helpful, and I've had a couple of big experiences of this lately, is in my work with clients. And sometimes we're talking about something that is so deeply resonant with my own experience. And of course, it's something you have to watch for, you know, to that you're not like just projecting, and really it's not
talking about yourself.
Maybe not that much like your own experience, but you're just seeing it that way because of your own bias. So it's something I have to watch for. But I've had a couple of big experiences recently with things I've really struggled with judging myself for. And I've had clients talking to me about this thing and really looking to me for, what do I think? How do I see this? And it was so healing because with my clients, I love them so much and I don't struggle at all with not judging them for their difficulties, whereas I struggle with that a lot with myself. Mm. And to have the experience of looking at this person who I have such an unconditional positive regard for, and being able to then say how I feel about this thing when that layer of self-judgment is just totally removed, it was like, oh my God, I'm like, this is life-changing for me. It's something that, it's very much a work in progress. And it's about maybe building capacity to, I don't know. I think in those moments, it was like kind of, it felt like I was learning what love is, and we're learning what self-love is by loving another person, if that makes sense.
Wow. That loving another person can help show you how to love yourself almost.
Yeah.
In some ways.
Yeah.
I think that's really true. I mean, I feel like for myself, so often through therapy, I've learned that I have such a greater capacity for, I wouldn't call it an unconditional good, like well regard or whatever you described, but like you see your friends in a particular way and it's harder for you to see yourself in that same light, or to give yourself the same grace you would to your friends. And so I think I posted this to my Instagram stories like a while ago about like my self-talk and how I've noticed that actually really impacts the way I feel about myself. Mm. And I have had this habit in the past of when I fuck up or do something, I'm always like, bitch, like, fuck, like, what's wrong with you? Is kind of the background theme, has been the background theme. And I've learned from, I want to say it's probably from my mother-in-law because of the way that she's raised her kids, but like Nolan's always called me cutie. My sister-in-law has always called people that she loves cutie as like a thing to say, just like, hey cutie, how are you? And I've really adopted that. I'm a chameleon because there's a Gemini in me. But I find that language and that sort of just the way you're even greeting yourself, the way that you're talking to yourself, the pronoun, the noun, whatever you were calling yourself in your head, actually has like an impact on the way that you create that space for yourself. And so for me, I've tried to change the whole like, bitch, what the fuck, to like, cutie, you're trying your best, but that is not okay. You know? So my self-talk is like been upped a little bit. Like I'm working on that, because if I can't meet myself where I'm at, I think what I'm trying to say is that I'm noticing and learning that my relationship with myself is like matters a lot. Mm-hmm. Like the way that I see myself, the gaze that I have for myself in the mirror matters a lot. Like, do I look at myself like with always critical eyes, or am I like trying to fall in love with myself, trying to like love myself? And I know that there's a whole host of things that get in the way for a lot of folks in different directions, you know? But for me, I'm just noticing that what the more that I am able to appreciate my mind and the way that I think and my own quirks, the more I feel like I can be a sponge for the love that people seem to want to give me. Mm. And taking a compliment is fucking hard. Actually being open to that love that you want so badly is really hard, and it takes practice.
Totally. And I love what you're saying about the way you look at yourself in the mirror. And if you're, because I am so likely to kind of look in the mirror to find imperfections, you know, like that would be why.
Yeah, I'm totally looking.
And it makes me think of the Megan Thee Stallion line. I can't remember the first part of it and thought shit, but it's something along the lines of looking in the mirror and think, damn, I don't brag enough.
Yeah. Dude,
which
yes.
is just so lovely. And I also was just thinking about, you know, you're talking about the way you talk to yourself. Mm. And to kind of build off of what I was saying about how I respond to myself, I think something I've really been working with for a while and just kind of building new layers of it is basically saying yes to myself as much as I can. I think it's maybe Shonda Rhimes has talked about.
Yep, the year of yes.
Yeah, I think it might have been part of the year of yes thing. But when her kids would ask her basically to play or to spend a moment with them, how important it was to say yes as often as she could, even if she's busy, even if she's stressed. And I think it's been so important, you know, to, I feel like I kind of came from this culture of self-denial.
Yeah.
And that being a virtue.
Oh,
and
<my God.
laughs> so being able to say, you know, yeah, I actually can take a few minutes to just rest or to put on some music, or I can put off doing these emails so I can play the piano for a while, or I can go get my nails done, you know, or whatever it is that I want to do. It's like, I think sometimes we're so used to, again, self-denial as a virtue that we don't even realize
Girl.
How much we're shutting ourselves down and all of our desires and our pleasure. And
oh my God, that's like so true. Self-denial is a virtue. And I mean, you didn't grow up religious, but you kind of had those sort of like,
it was in there.
Christian beliefs, yeah. Like kind of in the background, right? Yeah, exactly. And I think that that's so me, this idea of conserving and excess being anything that is not, you know, that within those bounds of virtue is excessive or gluttonous or extra or whatever. And like, mind you, my parents didn't teach me that. That was the subtext of the religion that I was adhering to, right? Mm-hmm. So what you just said about saying yes to yourself and like giving yourself, we talk about like giving yourself permission, but like, is permission yes, or is permission just like, yeah, you can feel that way if you want to? Or is it like saying yes to yourself? Mm. Like, I never really thought about me saying yes to myself. I've been working on just letting myself feel feelings and not trying to criticize them and all that kind of shit. But I think it's really, I don't know, a different ballpark even to say, yes, actually, I want to do this thing that I've been thinking about doing for myself. Yes, I'm going to sleep in. Yes, I'm going to lavish myself in this love in whatever way I think I need it right now. And almost like not waiting on other people to give it to you. Mm-hmm. There's something about that sort of self-starter nature of that that is interesting to me.
Well, especially because of how, like you said, I think I can't receive it from other people when I'm stuck in this like cycle of saying no to myself. It's like I think about my relationship with Mal, and they've been such a strong, supportive voice of doing everything they can to get me to say yes to myself and to get me to not deny myself of things if I don't need to.
Yeah.
And it's been so helpful. And so it's not that it can't come from other people and that can't be a catalyst for learning it on your own or whatever. But I also think I've just noticed how much it's like, okay, then I need them to say it again and again and again and again and again forever. And they're happy to do that. Mm. But it makes a lot more of a difference when I can also change something within myself, because it's like, I think there's still, for so long, has been this part of myself that is so afraid to let go of the guilt and so afraid to let myself have permission. And I can't even let it in, even when it is coming to me from someone else, you know?
Yeah. 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 I hear you. It's like, not to say that if you don't do this first, then that, like, I don't necessarily think there's a sequence, but it's like, it sure as fuck makes it easier.
Exactly.
To, you know, to receive, like, seeing yourself and knowing what makes you lovable. Right? What makes you like worthy of love? I think for me anyways, it means that I'm able to like open my arms wider when other people want to affirm that same thing.
Yeah.
As opposed to sort of recoil and deny it or minimize the thing that makes me lovable. It's like, bitch, if I know I'm lovable, if I know I'm worthy, I'm like, yes, tell me again. And, you know, in my relationship with Nolan, I'm that person. I'm that annoying ass person. That's like, when he's like, I love you, I'm like, why? Tell me. Give me the reasons. Tell me the reasons why you love me. And, you know, he said he's listed them off so many times. Sometimes he just says, because. Sometimes he makes up a reason that is not the reason at all. And I'm like, what the fuck? But I kind of like it. But yeah, I just kind of feel like, how can I prime and prep myself to get the thing that I actually want, which is love? Mm. It's such a weird roundabout journey of like, this podcast episode being about now like self-love, but love in all forms. Like the question was, how do you like to be loved? And it's like from all directions in many different ways, in many different quote unquote love languages. But I think for me, it's like, I like to be loved by myself. I really am learning more about how much I need that. And, you know, one thing that we didn't get to talk about, we kind of skirted on it. We talked about what it means to, like, withhold things from yourself and to not say yes to yourself. And I know that one of my love languages, if I was going to say, be really honest, the ex-Christian in me is just stressed. She's sweating. But it's physical touch and sex and intimacy. Like, I'm a sexual person. And so it's fascinating, even recognizing right now with you, that it's taken me all this time to say that there's still elements of how I like to be loved that I'm still trying to learn how to communicate, or like on this podcast, but to myself, to my partner, you know, in general, to the universe, to and that is the work that I have cut out for me.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we had to spend so much time talking about self-love, is that it is such an integral part of giving and receiving love. But I really want us to claim for ourselves what you just said, you know, that we like to be loved from all directions and in all kinds of different ways. And I really believe for us that we can have that, and that we deserve that, and that we can be easy to love and complicated to love at the same time. And those are not in any way mutually exclusive. So I'm claiming that for us. We're manifesting it.
Manifestations. Okay, great. BIPOC of the week, given the fact that your girl is a recovering prude, no shame, no shame, is Shan Boodram. She is a sexology and psychology professional and I wanted to say certified freak, but it really is certified intimacy educator, who I've come across on like YouTube and Instagram, and her Instagram handle is at Shan Boody, B-O-O-D-Y. Check her out. I think you'll like what you see. I picked her as BIPOC of the week because, like I said, one of my love languages is intimacy and sex. And as a former Christian gal, I've really appreciated just the frankness in which she talks about intimacy and pleasure and sex. And engaging with her content, watching her speak, has really sparked this sense within me of like more confidence and an aspiration to own all the parts of myself, like we said, wanting to be loved in all directions. It's like on the couch, on the table, on the floor, in all directions, right? And I'm trying to center that right now just because this is a part of myself that I've held so much shame about in the past,
yeah,
right? And so intimacy and sensuality and touch are massive elements of how I like to be loved. And her work has just really helped me not only expand my mind and like accept that, but also something that I can like cherish and celebrate, mm-hmm. and that I can ask for and that I can talk about. And that is like part of, like you said before, that complicated, expansive part of who I am that I'm still figuring out. So shout out to Shan. And this has been like a delightful episode. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of my ability to say one of my love languages is sex, because let me tell you, that is
it's huge. Like I said, we're claiming it. We're claiming all of it.
We are. Yes. Amen. Shall it be? It shall be written and shall be done. Ashe.